Hi everyone, Sanemian here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Mr. Anonymous, and here's what he has to say. Hi Sanemian, you were the first person to introduce me to the red pill, after my girlfriend at the time tried to say divorce rates weren't all that bad. My topic is about the three pillars of warfare, which are psychological, financial, and kinetic or physical. Affirmative action programs started in the early 1960s in the USA, which is the main form of financial warfare against men that I've noticed. Psychological warfare through critical race theory is now being taught in our classrooms. This states that Caucasian people are the reason for all the past, present, and future problems. These same two pillars of warfare being used in the 1930s by a political group in Germany against undesirables, before they activated the third pillar of physical warfare and death. I'm a combat infantry veteran and can't understand why people would still stand for the national anthem when two out of three pillars of warfare being actively used against a group by the government. I would love to hear your perspective. This is not a call to violence, but a plan to maximize your leisure over labor, and enjoy the decline with a plan B elsewhere in a country that will appreciate one's existence. Can't wait to hear your insights. Well, Mr. Anonymous, thanks for the donation as well as the topic. Affirmative action may have been one form of financial warfare back in the 1960s. But the war against the man's pocketbook started a long time before then. The Federal Reserve System started with the creation of debt as money in 1913, and it set into motion the dollar being devalued since then. When Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard officially, the inflation in the 1970s got horrible. Our time is supposed to be money, and when the government prints money and dilutes the money supply, such action steals both of those things from you. So to protect your hard-earned cash, you need to invest it properly. Most people have to work and then come home and go to work full-time trying to figure out their investments and financial picture. If you're not doing both of these things right now, you're not getting ahead. With COVID, that's accelerated because of all the money printing, but also because so many people have lost their businesses. I'll discuss more about how the system wages financial warfare on us in just a moment, as well as the psychological and kinetic. But first, let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, The Men's Guide to High-Conflict Divorce. Are you getting a divorce because your wife laughs at you like a horse? Then you need The Man's Guide to High Conflict Divorce. This book is like a rubber for your marriage and protects you from many of the tricks she has hidden up her wizard sleeve vagina. Remember, you're a man, so don't let her treat you like My Little Pony. This is your prep course for divorce rape. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to the Invisible War for Men's Minds Clown World Show. Besides financial warfare, the psychological has been going on forever as well, but you probably just haven't noticed it before. Back in the mid to late 90s, I learned about Edvard Bernays and how he developed public relations and propaganda to trick the masses into buying things that they don't need. Before that, people bought new clothes and other goods not because they were trying to live a certain lifestyle, but simply because the old stuff had worn out. Barnes had actually been hired by corporations on Madison Avenue to figure out ways to sell people things that they didn't need. This is my first red pill, and I suggest you read the book called Captains of Consciousness to understand where I'm coming from. That red pill was the most brutal one because it shattered my sense of reality the most. That the consumerism I bought into was a lie to keep me obsessing over products that I didn't need to try and fill the emptiness in my heart left by industrial society, trading my time for money to buy things that were making me a slave. Until you fully understand the psychological manipulation of consumerism, you won't be free. I remember being the only one in my popular culture class to wake up, and my professor said that there's nothing I could do to change things. What he should have done is said, the only power you have is over yourself. You now understand that you don't need to consume as much, so save your money, invest it in things that people buy, and profit from the mental manipulation and free yourself using other people's slavery. Do that until you're free, and then you'll have enough mental resources to figure out how to free everyone else, or as many people as you can. He also should have said that you're one of the tiny minority of people out there that actually wants to be free, that the majority of people want to be psychological and financial slaves because it provides a sense of purpose, and because they're pussies and can't think for themselves. But of course, my professor didn't say any of those things, which would have made me feel empowered taking individual action. All he said was that if you kill the head of a corporation, one of those so-called captains of consciousness, then they'll just replace him with another guy, and you'll be going to prison. Once you free yourself from the psychological warfare that's targeting you, and understand it for what it is, it no longer has the same effect on you. So that then allows you to save your money without blowing it on consumer products. Of course, another part of psychological warfare is the idea that we're supposed to pair bond, get married, and have children. I didn't defeat that psychological war in my mind until early 2016, when I went MGTOW monk mode. So without consumerism and relationships, my time and labor were my own, and I didn't waste them on consuming goods and thoughts. Even if you get to that point, then you need to figure out the financial warfare of inflation, which is the biggest tax against your wealth. Somewhere between 5 and 15% of your money every year, depending on what goods you're purchasing. Going your own way and living a minimalist lifestyle are easy when compared to understanding the complexity of how the financial system screws you over. Universal basic income is going to be the greatest wealth transference in history, and I'm all for it, because I'm positioning myself to profit off of it and hope everyone else listening does too. If the government prints money and hands it to you, then most people think that's great. But what they don't realize is that it just pushes up the price of everything around them. If the government gives everyone $1,000 a month, then what they're really doing is giving Amazon and Costco $1,000, because most people will just buy stuff there, thus enriching the shareholders of those companies. People are stupid. They don't understand this and will suffer as a result. I try and tell people and awaken them, and they just look all stressed out and say, I give up. This is all too complicated. But I can't help myself but tell people, regardless, because I've always assumed the best in people. I tell some people smart enough to grasp what's happening, and they tell me I know what's happening, but there's nothing I can do about it. I think there is, but they're just lazy or refuse to think. As for critical race theory, it's just the fruit fly on the cherry on the cake. It's here to turn America and Canada into something that resembles South Africa. Mr. Anonymous, I have to be careful how I mention things, and that small powerful group that you mentioned in your comments, whose name I took out, because you're not supposed to openly talk about them. Women are just one obstacle to freeing yourself in this world. We're psychologically manipulated by society to be with women, and then those women manipulate us to embrace consumer culture and get a mortgage, and we then become financial slaves. You also asked the question, why people are still standing for the national anthem when the government is waging war against them through taxation, inflation, and psychological manipulation. People are still standing for the anthem because they're disconnected from what's happening. And they're honoring the memory of a country that no longer exists, they're also not seeing reality for what it actually is today. Or they're just too stupid to figure out how the brainwashing works. It's like when I was in that classroom, Mr. Anonymous, and became aware of the captains of consciousness. But everyone in the class was unable to understand how the system was at war with them, even when it was right there in front of their face. They didn't see it as a war. They saw it as normal and the way things are supposed to be. Mr. Anonymous, Sun Tzu, the greatest Chinese general, that wrote the book Art of War, said that the greatest form of warfare is to fight without kinetic or physical warfare. But it's possible that we're in the middle of a kinetic war right now in the form of a syringe sauce experiment, if you read between the lines, so to speak. If you want to maximize your leisure over labor and escape to a Plan B country, there's a guy I follow called Andrew Tate, and his Plan B country is Romania. He's one of the smartest guys I've seen on the internet recently. He started a cam girl empire with his brother in Romania. But today he's into casinos in Eastern Europe. The mob told him that they didn't need him and that he would actually be killed if he tried to build a competing business. So what he did was convince the mob to let him build a casino near one of their competitors, and he would pay them most of the money that he earned. They said yes, and now he has tons of tiny casinos all over the place. But he's still obsessed with women and consumerism. He hasn't been red-pilled on those things, but only on inflation and other forms of financial warfare. I'm sure that it'll eventually get there. There's no point in being financially free if all you do is waste your freedom on women and consumption. Getting to the idea of a Plan B country, Eastern Europe has the cheapest cost of living, and your Western dollars will go the furthest. And it also provides the most personal safety because it has the most homogeneous Caucasian populations in the world. It provides the safety and security that Western states used to have, up until a few decades ago. I only fully digested the financial warfare red pill against me about a year ago, when I found Jeff Booth. You think financial warfare is bad right now? Just wait until automation starts taking away most of the jobs. You think that the psychological warfare is bad? Then just wait until there are hate speech laws, and you can't talk to anyone that's unauthorized because your phones are all being bugged. We will eat bugs, live in pods, and consume only government-sanctioned information. Of course, I don't believe that'll work in the long run. But the powers that be seem to want to try. It's all about destroying intergenerational wealth. Imagine a world with financial warfare where your money expires like coupons. A place where you can't save your labor in a unit like money. What do you think central bank digital currencies are going to be all about? What if the government forces us to get jabs? Yes, women are bad for our spirit and pocketbook, but there are things coming down the pipeline that are far scarier than divorce rape. Your Plan B countries might be in Central or Latin America, but those aren't safe. The only safe places you'll probably be able to blend in are in Eastern Europe, if you make the effort and learn the language and look like you belong. What's really scary, Mr. Anonymous, is that you are actually a soldier and you believe that this America you find yourself in is no longer worth fighting for. The words of the author James Howard Kunstler come to mind when he said that what do young soldiers have to fight for when their last memory on the battlefield in the United States is the curb cut between the Chuck E. Cheese and the 7-Eleven? Once America becomes a place no longer worth caring about, it no longer becomes a place worth defending. You've proven this point perfectly. The 1%, or more like the 10th of 1%, are actually experiencing deflation right now, compared to everyone else. Because their asset prices are going up and their cost of living is going down relative to the wealth transference that everyone else is experiencing. But also remember that they need professionals like doctors, lawyers, media propagandists, and other professions that are about command and control. If you can't get into the top 0.1%, then try and get into the top 5%. So you can be like Smithers for George Soros. I'm afraid that the middle class will be mostly gone in the next 10 to 20 years in the West. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Mr. Anonymous for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that women that let you smash them easily will expect you to let them smash your bank account just as easily. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the war against the middle class away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.